So if you have a Bible, let me invite you to turn it to the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus. This morning I'm going to read Exodus chapter 23, and we're taking a little break from our Psalm sermon series because this particular Sunday there's a number of churches in the Vancouver area who are preaching messages on the same theme. So this was this sort of came about a few months ago. And one of the members here at Nelson Avenue told me about this. And so if you know people who attend other churches in the Vancouver area, you might want to ask them, like, what was the theme of your sermon this morning? Maybe it was the same as this theme this morning. So the theme that we're looking at is welcoming the stranger. Welcoming the stranger. So many churches, as far as I know, in the Vancouver area are talking about this theme this morning. I want to say a few things about the theme before I invite Wayne to come up and read the passage. I know that the word stranger, for many of us, can have very negative connotations. So with our children, I know that some people talk to their kids about stranger danger, that strangers are dangerous, or don't talk to strangers. And we tell our kids when we leave them alone at home, we say, don't open the door to a stranger. And that can be good advice, and there's times where we need to do that. But as I was watching the movie Lion on Friday night, maybe some of you have seen that movie, powerful movie, I realized even in that movie, there are some strangers who are bad strangers and who want to do bad things to children. And there are other strangers who are actually good strangers. And that movie actually made, for me, a wonderful distinction between strangers who are out to get you, but not all strangers are out to get you. And this morning I'm thinking about stranger in terms of the guest or the visitor or the immigrant or the refugee. And when I say the words immigrant or refugee, I'm sure some of us are thinking about immigration policy. That's where our minds go. Like, who can come into this country and who cannot? And although I think those conversations are really important and I think Christians should be involved in those conversations, I'm not planning a message on immigration policy this morning. That's beyond the scope of the message, beyond the scope of my ability. But I do want to recognize that the theme of welcoming the stranger is an important theme and I think an important value in Canadian culture. So there are, I've read, there are 65 million refugees in the world right now. That's about twice the population of Canada. So there are, you know, two Canadas of refugees in the world. In terms of immigration, last year, Canada welcomed over 300,000 new immigrants. And I think these are the stats. And on top of that, since end of 2015, has welcomed over 40,000 Syrian refugees, a number of them coming to the Vancouver area or the province of British Columbia. So as I think about the theme, welcoming the stranger, and some of those stats, and some of the values in Canadian culture, I want to look at this theme certainly from the perspective of the Bible. And I want to ask Wayne to come up and read Exodus 23, verses 1 to 13. Wayne, if you'd come forward and read that passage for us, and then we'll spend a little time talking about these verses together.
Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. And do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure to help them with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put your innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twists the words of the innocent. Do not oppress the foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what is left. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that your slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. So I know that sometimes when we read the Old Testament, and maybe you have this experience, there are certain passages in the Old Testament that seem to be just crazy. Right? Like maybe even in the book of Exodus or Leviticus, if you were to ever read that, you might say crazy laws, some weird stories, there's odd things going on, and it's tough to make a connection between that story or that passage that seems so weird and our lives today. Like, how are we going to do that? But this morning, for me, the connection seems pretty straightforward. Like, this is not, for me, a passage that seems weird or odd or crazy. I put it under the heading of living justly or living rightly or living for the common good, living for the sake of those around you. And we can just go through some of the things that Wayne just read and I think just make a almost like a direct connection to our lives today. Like, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. That's, I think, good advice. Like when your team loses game 7 of the hockey finals and people start rioting because of that, don't follow the crowd. Don't riot because everybody else is rioting. That is just good advice for society. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, there goes the ox or donkey, and it's connected to someone I don't like very much, or they don't like me very much, what should you do? Now, what we want to do is just let the donkey or the ox keep going. Just go. But already here in the Old Testament, anticipating Jesus, who said, love your enemy, this passage already says, when you see that ox or donkey going, return it. Return the ox or the donkey or whatever belongs to your enemy. That's radical news. Do not deny justice to your poor people. My conviction, we've had some conversations about justice in our home recently. My attempts to describe it were not very helpful, I don't think. But this morning, I'm thinking that justice, at the very center of justice, is looking out for the poor. Why? Because the poor don't have resources to look out for themselves. Typically, people who are well off or rich don't face injustice, and if they do, they have resources to handle that. But the poor do not. So one of our questions as a church community should be, are the poor in Burnaby and the Vancouver area and maybe other places in the world being denied justice? How can we intervene on their behalf so they are not denied that? The command, do not accept a bribe. I know in some cultures, bribery is almost the way it goes. And I would have been, I think even recently, hard-pressed to know exactly why shouldn't you accept a bribe? I know it's not right, we shouldn't do it, but why not? What's the bad thing about bribery? In this context, it seems to be that when you have a bribery system in a culture, you set up a two-tier society. Some people can pay the bribe. It's no real hardship, but some people cannot. And so for the sake of those who cannot pay the bribe, don't manage your life or your business like that. And even this command, for 6 years sow and harvest, in the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. And that's kind of radical, because it's not just in the Bible you should rest, and your spouse or your friends or your children or even your servant should rest. It's the land. The land should rest. So I think the Bible's not just simply good news for you and me, it certainly is, but also for those we know, and even for the creation itself. The Bible is meant to give good news. This morning I want to pick up a couple of verses in particular, especially verse 12 and verse 9. Verse 12 says, 6 days do your work, on the seventh day do not work, so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner, and the word there in Hebrew is, and the gar living among you may be refreshed. And then verse 9 especially, do not oppress the foreigner or the gar. You yourselves know how it feels to be gars or foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. Now, the word used here in the Hebrew, in our translation, foreigner, sometimes sojourner or alien, in his book called Generous Justice, Tim Keller says that we should translate that word as immigrants. So don't oppress the immigrants. You yourselves know how it feels to be immigrants, because you were immigrants. You went to Egypt as immigrants. You know that experience. And throughout the Old Testament, this word, whether foreigner or alien, sojourner, immigrant, is typically connected with the fatherless and the widow. Because they, especially in that culture, but even today, are people who need special care and provision. And God says, look out for them, care for them, provide for them, because I love them. I love the gar, I love the immigrant, I love the foreigner, but also because you are gars, you are foreigners, you are immigrants, you know what it's like. So out of your own experience, you should have a special looking out for those who are in a similar situation. And this really gets to what I think is a principle in the Bible that we hear about in different ways. And it goes something like this. We cannot, you cannot, I cannot love unless I'm loved. Or as I have been loved, I'm able to love. Or we cannot, for those of us who are parents or grandparents and connected with children in some sort of raising them or training them, bringing them up, we cannot parent children unless we've been parented well ourselves. Or we cannot forgive unless we experience what it means, what it feels like to be forgiven. And this morning especially, we cannot welcome the stranger unless we've had the experience of being welcomed as a stranger. Or maybe I could say, we can't identify with the stranger or the foreigner unless we know the experience of being the stranger or the foreigner. And this is, and I'm jumping very quickly this morning, but I want to jump from Exodus 23 and say, this is the experience of God's people. Like anyone who follows Jesus, or anyone who's thinking about following Jesus, this is the experience that we have. It's the experience of God's people in the Old Testament, that God's people were strangers in Egypt, They were foreigners and immigrants, but God brought them out, and he brought them to a new land. And the Bible tells us that about 400 years, God's people were strangers or foreigners or immigrants. For God's people, they were even, you know, it was even more than that. They were slaves and mistreated. And out of that experience, maybe some of them became bitter and angry. And maybe some of them wanted to exact revenge on those who mistreated them. But God's intention is, out of that experience of being a foreigner and an immigrant, I want you to be able to identify with others who are in that same situation. So let the experience of being a stranger help you identify or love or relate to others who are strangers. And this is maybe one reason why God left them in Egypt that long. So out of that experience, 400 years, they're not just individually, but their whole collective self would be oriented to people like them who were going through the same kind of experience they were. And this is the experience also we're told in the Bible of God's people, people who follow Jesus. This is from the book of Ephesians chapter 2, where the writer is saying, remember that at a certain time, you were separate from Christ. You know, you were not part of the people of Jesus. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. You know, there was this time when you were like strangers in your relationship to God, but now in Christ Jesus, or because of Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. That's no longer your identity with God and with others who follow Jesus. But you are fellow citizens and you are members of his household. And this is the language the Bible continually uses for people who come and find their identity in Christ. They move from strangers to being fellow citizens, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They move even from being enemies of God to being people who are friends of God, sons and daughters of God. And this morning, I'm thinking about Exodus, I'm thinking about Ephesians, I'm thinking about the ministry of Jesus. The Christian faith gives us lots of resources by which to welcome the stranger. So I just want to remind us that the leader of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ himself, a savior, a teacher, a redeemer, a leader, knew the experience of being a stranger. So as he was living his life and doing his ministry, people didn't understand him. People from his hometown wanted to kill him. And especially at the end of his life, as he suffers and dies, the Bible makes a point that he was crucified like a criminal, like someone we just, you know, over there, outside the city. We aren't going to give you a sort of an honorable death here. Outside, get outside the city, like a foreigner. You don't belong to us. That's the experience of Jesus. I also want to remind us that the leader, Jesus, leads a movement that is always reaching out to strangers. Now this, it might sound a little weird to some people, because for some people, religion is an insider movement or an insider reality. Most religions, sometimes even the Christian faith, we're all nice, chummy with people who are like us, but very suspicious of people who are not like us. And it's amazing when you look at the life of Jesus, how often he crossed barriers. Especially in his culture, radically crossing the gender barrier. Talking to women. Teaching women. Crossing the ethnic barrier. People in Samaria. people who were Roman centurions going to non-Jewish towns and regions, healing people there. He crosses all the time the sin barrier. People who were despised, who were hated, people who were swindlers. I'm thinking even about soldiers who I think many Jewish people saw as murderers because they were always there at the executions. Jesus reaching out to them. Jesus always crossing the religious barrier. People who don't understand him, even people, I might say, in his own religion, who don't get him, don't embrace him, constantly reaching out. But also for us this morning who follow Jesus, not just Jesus himself as stranger, not just Jesus reaching out to strangers, but Jesus embracing us, who at some point were strangers, and bringing us into his family and kingdom. Now this morning I feel again like I'm moving quickly. For some of you, maybe not quickly enough. For others of you, whoa, slow down a little bit. But I want to quickly get to Nelson Avenue. You know, when I think about welcoming the stranger, you know, this has been our reality at Nelson Avenue the last number of years. Welcoming people who are not quite like us. People who come from other cultures, people who at one point are a guest or a visitor, at least at first, they're strangers, right? We don't know them very well. But then, I wish it happened more often, but for a number of people, something happens, something changes. They feel like strangers, even awkward when they come, even after some weeks and months. I heard it recently, someone still feeling awkward at Nelson Avenue. But the hope is that strangers become not just acquaintances, but get woven into the church community. So I'm thinking about, especially the last 5, 7, maybe 8, 9, 10 years, this is part of the legacy of Jesus that's happening here at Nelson Avenue. And I think part of the legacy, I'm hoping, that will be what we leave here, not just in the church community, but also for the wider community. As I think about what's been happening, not just at Nelson Avenue, but also in the wider community, someone has said that the arrival of immigrants, although it looks like to us this is kind of random, and it's part of economic reasons or other reasons going on, someone has written that God is sovereignly superintending this movement of people also into our country, into our communities. And this person writes that God is doing this so that others who come from other, all kinds of corners of the world might come into contact with the good news of Jesus. But then reminds us, and we are witnesses of this at Nelson Avenue, that some of those who come from the corners of the world bring the good news of Jesus with them. So it's not just a one-way street as we meet strangers or people who are new to our church community or in our communities. Some of them maybe hopefully come in contact with the good news of Jesus, but some of them bring that good news with them. And I am so thankful that there are people here, people I know, stories I hear that inspire me of welcoming the stranger. And we do that on a fairly regular basis. Sunday mornings, this morning is another example of people who I've not met before, but they're here, I think, by God's sovereign movements. Something's happened in their lives or the lives of their family, and they're here for a morning. And it's our privilege, our calling, it's the gospel way, it's the Christian way, it's the radical hospitality of Jesus to reach out a hand or extend a welcome or start a conversation. And I know this happens on a regular basis, but I was so taken this past week as I looked at our church directory, how much this has happened the last number of years. So I did a quick count. I love this church directory. But as I look at it, I'm realizing it seems almost outdated. It just last year. But I now you could correct me. I count 238 faces in the church directory. 238 faces. And I want to know how many were strangers, 5, 6, 7 years ago. People we had never met before. 238 faces. How many of them we didn't know them, let's say 7 years ago. We had not met them before. Anybody want to guess how many out of 238? Half. I counted over 100 people in the church directory that 7 years ago we had never met. I would say they're strange. I have no idea who they are. But God's been doing something at Nelson Avenue. And I want to give thanks to God for that. And I want us this morning to keep that going.